Our scripture reading is found in the book of Matthew. It is chapter 9, found in chapter 9, reading from the 9th through the 15th verses. For those of you who would like to follow along in our pew Bibles, it is located on page 960, Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Here ends the reading.
Looks like there's a few more late service and early service. I thought I was going to have to call up little Timmy Beck up here for late service, but he had bailed me out. I know it. Probably when he was in trouble. Pastor Eric wanted to know when the last time you were called Timmy. He's in trouble. How you guys doing? You guys are shuffled clear down here on the end. That's all right. I'm glad you're up here. All right. What I have here is a box full of pencils, right? So there's some long ones, some shorter ones, some fancy ones that have, you know, you push a top down, those manual pencils, different colors. But what's common about these pencils is some of them don't have erasers. Some of them have very short erasers. But most of them on here, the erasers are all worn out. Okay? So that tells me whoever's been using these has been making a lot of mistakes. Right? I want to make a lot of mistakes. So when I'm making a mistake, I like to erase it, start all over, right? Well, these pencils kind of remind me of people, us, right? We all come in different shapes, sizes, colors, right? We're all different. What's the one thing that we have in common? We make tons of mistakes, right? So what do we do when we make that mistake? We pray to God and we ask for forgiveness, right? Now, I based kind of my children's moments off on Matthew 18, 21, 22, and it talks when Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive somebody. He said 7 times, and Jesus said, no, 77 times, right? So when you pray and ask for that forgiveness, just remember that Jesus is going to forgive you over and over and over again. All you have to do is pray and ask for it, right? But in order to do that, you need to remember to forgive somebody else too, right? It's not a one-way street, right? So the next time you guys look at a pencil or see a pencil, look at the eraser. Maybe you need to make a phone call to somebody or pray and ask for forgiveness or something like that, okay? All right, so the last thing that I want to share, and maybe you guys will understand this and maybe not, but I want to share with you guys, it's a devotional book that I've been doing. A few of us on the fire department have been doing it. Mr. Ducey, if you could flip that over to the cross picture you had up there a little bit ago. I mean, that one is great too. Perfect. All right. This is a devotional book that some of us firemen are doing, and this is one I had read a while back, and it kind of struck me again with what's going on today. And Pastor Eric's going to give an awesome sermon a little bit about forgiveness and why we should forgive. So suppose you were to stand on a stage while a film of every secret and selfish second of your life was projected on the screen behind you. Imagine what Christ felt like on the cross. Jesus personally carried all those sins in his body, all the gossiping, embezzlements, lies, addictions, murders, etc. Do you see Jesus on that cross? So with his hands nailed open, he invited God. Jesus cried out, "Treat me as you would treat them." And then cried out, my God, why did you abandon me?" That's Matthew 27:46. So why did Christ scream those words? It's so that we wouldn't have to. Just because you guys are kids doesn't mean that you can't forgive somebody and that you can hurt somebody. I have recently hurt somebody really close to me, and I've asked for forgiveness. But doing that, I also learned, because of reading things like this and praying, that I had to seek out other folks that I needed to forgive, because in order for me to ask for forgiveness, I needed to share my forgiveness. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, forgive us of the things that we've done that go against your word. Give us the courage to live a life that is pleasing to you. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving us again and again and again. May those forgivenesses be encouragement that we may forgive again and again and again. With much love. Amen. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Let's pray. Lord, we come before you as your people. And I pray that the reflections of my study of this passage and this subject would be words that you have given me that would bring glory and honor to you and peace to your people. In Christ we pray. Amen. A Sunday school teacher had just concluded her lesson, and she wanted to make sure that she had gotten her point across. And so she asked the young children, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin?" And there was a short pause, and then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up. "Sin," he said. Think about that. If there was no sin, there would be no need for forgiveness. But we're sinners, and we need forgiveness. In confirmation last Sunday and in on to today's lesson, the confirmands are studying what is known as the fall into sin, the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When both of them ate of the fruit of the tree that God had told them not to eat from, Adam and Eve's sin was that they ignored God's command. They disobeyed. And they both ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve had been deceived by the craftiness of the serpent, Satan. And as a result, both she and Adam fell into sin. The student book that we're using in confirmation this year offers that when they sinned, they ruined their relationship with God. And not only did they ruin their relationship with God, they ruined their relationship with each other, as well as with the perfect world that God had created. But instead of destroying Adam and Eve and starting all over, God announced his plan of salvation, a plan that would fulfill, that would be fulfilled through one of Adam and Eve's descendants. In Genesis 3:15, the Lord God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." One of Eve's offspring would have their heel struck by the serpent, by Satan. And then that same one of Eve's offspring would crush the head of Satan himself, mortally wounding him. Both of these realities happened when Jesus obediently went to the cross to suffer and die for the sins of all humankind. And Jesus Christ destroyed the power of Satan over us. God's plan of salvation was his promise to send that descendant, to send his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you can link Genesis 3:15 with John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Way back in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, God had already announced his plan for salvation. Genesis teaches us that God created people good. God created each one of us good. But people fell into sin, and thus we each are sinners. God planned for people's salvation. God planned for the salvation of each one of us. And Jesus Christ offers forgiveness through his shed blood as a person confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord. Jesus forgives us. And Jesus calls us to forgive others. As Christians, as sinners, when we recognize our sin, we need to seek forgiveness from the Lord. According to the instruction of the Bible, instruction of Scripture. And as we ask, in faith we are forgiven. From Ephesians 1:7, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Our past sin is forgiven. 1 John 1:9 expresses the blessing of this forgiveness that we can experience. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ forgives us and he purifies us from our sin. That sin that stains our hearts, stains our lives, we are purified from that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. It is one of the extreme truths of the Bible. Christ's love and Christ's grace. We can be forgiven. We can be purified. Being a Christian, when I sin, when I allow Satan to deceive me or the secular world to deceive me, I break my relationship with God. Being a Christian, when I've sinned, I become almost immediately aware that what I have just done was sinful. And knowing and believing in the truth of Scripture, I am convicted to bow in prayer. Convicted by the words of Scripture to bow in prayer and ask God to forgive me. Seeking forgiveness is a basic tenet of the Christian faith. And it's so elemental. It is so elemental that it's specifically detailed in the Lord's Prayer. The words of Jesus as he teaches us to pray in Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. As you remember that important sentence in the Lord's Prayer, I want to emphasize what we've already heard this morning, what Jesus says about forgiveness following his prayer in Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This morning we are considering the question, why forgive others? Why is it important? Why is it important to forgive people who have sinned against us? It's important to forgive others because it's an expectation that God has of his people. God expects us to forgive as he has forgiven us. And God forgives us, and so we are to forgive others. It is so elemental. It is such a critical, basic truth of Scripture. And we know this truth. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer. We read it in Scripture. But how well are we living it? How well are we forgiving others? I enjoy listening to parents teach their children to say, thank you. You can hand a piece of candy, a little piece of candy wrapped up to a child. And as they start to tear off that wrapper, you hear one of the parents say, what do you say? And that little child has learned to say, thank you. That child's been prompted, that child's being taught to be nice, to be kind, to say please, and to say thank you. The child is learning. That lesson is repeated countless times in those early years of their childhood. And the expectation is that that child will have learned automatically, without thinking, say thank you. And as they grow, they learn the reason why. Because it is kind. It is the respectful, rightful thing to do. As Christians, we learn and new in the faith, whether that's as a child or an adult that has come to the Lord. We learn to ask God for the forgiveness of our sin. And as God forgives, God is teaching us how to forgive others, because it's the right thing to do, because it's Scripture, because God expects us. As God forgives us, He expects us to forgive others. And forgiving others is an act of love. That same act of love that took Jesus to the cross, we have that love within our hearts. Because as God loves us, so we are to love others. I'm going to offer several verses of Scripture that explore why we are to forgive others. These verses of Scripture teach us the simplicity of love and the simplicity of forgiveness. First, from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Forgiveness and love go hand in hand. From Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another. It's those lessons of learning as a child to say thank you and please. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. From Mark 11, 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And from 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he and God has given us the command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Forgiveness is an act of love. It's an act of love that Jesus lived. And it's an act of love that Jesus not only lived, that he seeks to teach us. Forgiveness was one of the final aspects of love that Jesus lived when he was crucified. In Luke 23, 33, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his left and one on his right. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. How important is forgiveness to Jesus Christ? Some of his final words uttered when he was in agony on the cross. It underscores how important forgiveness is for us. Now, forgiveness is not necessarily easy to offer to someone else. People can sin against us multiple times, and we can get tired of the need to forgive that person one more time. But again, what Matt has shared with us earlier, Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. We cannot lose patience with people. We cannot give up and say, I'm tired, no more chances. Because Jesus calls us to have unlimited grace to forgive others. So why? Why forgive others? God teaches us to forgive through the scriptures. God expects us to forgive others as he has forgiven us. And we know that Christ is our example. In his words and in his actions, even when on the cross. Why forgive others? Because God expects and scripture so teaches. Amen.
In his work of creation, God decreed that people would be the stewards of his creation. As stewards, we care for people. We care for the environment. We care for the world. We care for the church. When we give our offerings, we are being good stewards of God's resources. That our congregation and ministries will spread the word and love of Jesus Christ. I invite our ushers to come and receive the morning offering. Gracious God, we ask that through the act of giving, we grow in understanding of our faith. May those things we call our belongings remind us that all creation belongs to you. May the currency we offer mark a recurrence of our vow to serve you well. Accept our gifts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for our closing hymn, which is found on number 455 in our red hymnals. It is called Come All Christians Be Committed. Then remain standing for the spoken benediction. Then we will do our benediction and song number 461 in your red hymnals, verse 1 of He Leadeth Me. So let us sing, "Come, All Christians, Be Committed."
Following the benediction and song, we will take what time is needed to transition from worship to the informational meeting. Certainly everybody is invited to stay if you so desire, but if you need to leave, we understand, and it would be great to have anybody, you know, like move forward so that it's a little bit better hearing for that time. The benediction from Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love for those who know him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. God forgives. Let us do so. Amen.